Open our Bibles, if you would, please. We're going to go to John chapter 3 this morning. John chapter 3. Little Grayson over here was going to sing a special for us this morning, but his lips were moving. More than some of y'all's, amen, I think. His lips were moving while we were singing, praise the Lord. They said he likes the music, praise God. Most babies do, you know, they like to sing. Their hearts are full of joy. They're young, amen. Still innocent. John chapter 3, I hope I didn't make you men, that put you under any pressure or anything. I'm trying to help you, really, okay? I'm trying to help you. I'm trying to just enjoy, you know, strengthen your marriage a little bit. The foundation of a home is the marriage, okay? Children come and children go, right? The marriage needs to be the strong part of the home, okay? You can't live for your children. If you live for your children, what are you going to do after they're gone? Right? That's the way it works, okay? So I'm trying to help you. I pray that you'll come and be a part of it. We're not going to do anything elaborate. Just have a good time of fellowship and eating together and gazing into your spouse's eyes, right? See, I'm really trying to, Brother Jose's already going to ask me, how can I get out of this? Well, go ahead.
I was just going to say, did you say that when Brittany and Brother Summit were going to watch the kids for 4 hours?
Watch the kids as long as it takes. I don't think it's going to be 4 hours. I don't think it's going to take 4 hours. It might take a couple hours at least, though, for sure. But they'll watch them for nothing, I think is what I said. For the glory of God. That's it.
Yeah.
That's it. Okay. All right, John chapter 3, stand with me if you would, please. Enough of that. Let me read to you beginning verse 26, if you'd follow along there. John 3, verse 26, and they came unto John and said unto him, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizeth, and all men come to him. John answered and said, a man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven.
Amen.
Ye yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom. But the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy therefore is fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease. He that cometh from above is above all. Amen. He that is of the earth is earthly, and speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all. Verse 30 says again, he must increase, but I must decrease. So I want to preach to you this morning this thought, the way to God's glory. The way to God's glory. Let's pray. Father, this morning I thank you for Jesus, Lord. I thank you for the fellowship. The laughter, Lord, I thank you for the unity of your spirit, the bond of peace here among your people. I thank you, Father, for the Sunday school hour and the Bible that's already ministered and fed our hearts. And now this morning, Lord, as we've sung praises and unto you, honored you, Lord God, with our hearts and our lips, I pray now, Father, that we would turn our hearts with a special purpose to hear from heaven from the preaching of this precious book. Lord, I thank you for those that are here. I pray, God, you would minister, you would meet the need in every heart here this morning. Help me, Lord, I pray. Fill me with your spirit, your power, your unction, Lord. I don't want to stand here. Father, I'd rather be dead, Lord God, than try to preach this, any message, Lord God, without your spirit and your power. Lord, please use me today. I pray that there'd be no distractions among your people. Bind Satan, Lord, I pray. I pray that you would allow your spirit to have perfect liberty. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. John the Baptist here is the subject of our text. John the Baptist is a man sent from God, and he had one specific reason, and that was to testify and preach the Lord Jesus Christ. If you turn back with me to chapter 1, verse 6, the Bible says there was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. The Bible says all men, amen. There's nobody that is not chosen or elect, amen. All men, the Bible's, God's will is for all men through him to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved forever. He was not, verse 8, that light. John was not that light. The capital L light in your King James Bible, right? The capital L. But John, but he was sent to bear witness of that light. That was John's ministry. That was John's life, sent from God to bear witness of that light. And he did just that. Listen, he did it very well. Many people heard the preaching of John the Baptist. Many people were converted to Christ after repenting of their sins and turning to Jesus in faith. In John chapter 3 then, where we were reading, John is told that more men now, if you go back there where we began in John 3, verse 26, they came unto John and said unto him, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, that's Jesus, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizeth, and all men come to him. See, now John is being told that more men are going to Jesus than they are to him. Now John is being told and that more men are going to Jesus and being baptized, and less are coming to John. They're telling John that Jesus is now receiving, listen, more attention than John is. That's what's going on in our text here in John chapter 3. John answers them. Of course, he responds to their inquisition, to their questions. He answers them, and the heart of his answer is verse 30. One of the most powerful verses, I believe, in the entire Bible. Yeah. He must increase, but I must decrease. John answers them, and that is his heart, that is his verse. This verse describes the heart of John the Baptist from the time of his ministry, I believe, all the way through, amen, his death. John's ministry objective, listen now, was to point men to Jesus Christ. John's ministry objective, look in chapter 1, verse 23. Chapter 1, verse 23. He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. That was his purpose. That was his calling. He came to make a way for Jesus Christ. He came to pave the way, really, for the Lord Jesus Christ. He came to prepare the hearts for Jesus Christ coming on the scene. May I add this thought to any and every ministry? Listen, any and every ministry, it should be that same objective. Right. Our heart's desire ought to be, listen, I'm here at the Amazing Grace Baptist Church. I'm here as a Sunday school teacher. I'm here as a bus worker. I'm here as a junior church worker. I'm here taking the offering. I'm here preaching the gospel. I'm here opening the door. Listen, I'm here because I want people to come and to understand and know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. That ought to be our objective to every ministry, to point men to Jesus. And we go back to John chapter 3, verse 30 there. He must increase is what he says. John is stating his ministry objective. He's stating his heart's desire in such a way, listen, that it wasn't just a ministry for him. That indeed was his heart. I love John the Baptist. He's a great example for me. He's one of my favorite Bible characters, characters and people in the Bible. He's one of the greatest that I think. Jesus said he's the greatest among women, born of women. The greatest among prophets ever born of women was John the Baptist. And this, I believe, is why. I believe this is why Jesus was able to say that about John the Baptist without apology. John said he must increase. Let me just help you understand what he's really trying to say. What John is saying is that Jesus must increase. Jesus' kingdom must increase. Jesus' power must increase. Jesus' glory must increase. Jesus' influence must increase. Jesus' name must increase. Jesus' gospel must increase. Jesus' salvation must increase. Jesus' compassion must increase. His mercy, his grace, his love, his tenderness, it must increase. That was John's heart. That was John's desire. His greatest desire is that Jesus would increase. That's a blessing. His heart, listen, that's our theme this year around Amazing Grace Baptist Church. To God be the glory. That is the theme. You say, well, wait a minute. I thought John was talking about Jesus. Well, let me say one thing to you. Jesus is God. Okay? But through Jesus Christ, I told you the way to God's glory is the theme of the top title of the message this morning. Through Jesus Christ is how God is going to be glorified above all else. Hold your place here and look over in Philippians chapter 2. I'll be right back to John. We look in Philippians chapter 2, verse 10. The Bible says in Philippians 2, verse 10, well, let's read verse 9. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him, speaking of Jesus, and hath given him a name which is above every name. Yeah. That at the name of Jesus. Now listen, just the name. At the name of Jesus. Think about that. Let that sink in for a minute. Not the power, not the miracles, not the presence even. Just the name.
Amen.
Just the name of Jesus. That God has ordained that every knee should bow.
Amen. Right.
Look at things in heaven, things in earth, things under the earth. What things are those, preacher? Your guess is as good as mine. Those creepy, crawly things, everything that God has created at the name of Jesus should bow. Notice in verse 11, everything that has a tongue, that's you and me, that's human beings, every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Notice the next phrase, though, to the glory of God the Father. See, if God is going to be glorified, listen to me, it starts with Jesus Christ. If God is going to be glorified, rightfully so, as he deserves, it starts with Jesus Christ. God has ordained it that way. God has established it that way, that Jesus be lifted up, that we bow the knee and confess with the tongue that Jesus Christ is Lord. That's what glorifies God the Father. Every knee shall bow. Every tongue shall confess. You say, preacher, when is that going to happen? I don't know for sure when that's going to happen, but when you got saved, that had to happen or you're not saved. I don't believe you got saved, but just saying, well, Lord, save me so I can go on to my sin and go to heaven. That's not salvation. Without repentance, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. That's what the Bible says. And repentance is turning from me to Jesus.
Come on, preach.
Repentance is turning from my sin to his righteousness.
That's right.
You didn't get saved if you said, Lord, save me so I can go to heaven and then leave me alone. That's not Bible salvation. Bible salvation is, you may not have bowed your knee literally, but you bowed your heart and you confess with your tongue, Jesus Christ is Lord. No longer me. I'm no longer Lord. He's Lord. I'm no longer in control. Satan's no longer leading me. He is. Jesus Christ is Lord. Listen, salvation is a complete heart change, and Jesus is glorified, and so therefore the Father is glorified. Amen. That's what we're talking about. John's ministry was to point men to Jesus that they might be saved. John's ministry was to point men to Jesus they might be born again. Amen. Quickened, made alive in Jesus Christ. Every time this happens, every time a man's heart bows and a man's tongue confesses that Jesus Christ is Lord, this glorifies our Heavenly Father. Praise God. Go back to John 3 now. It's easy to see this. It's easy to see John's desire in this one short verse. Listen to me. John knew. John was convinced that God deserved more glory.
Amen.
God deserved all the glory. And John looked around, and the people are coming to him, and they're saying, John, Jesus is getting more converts now than you are. John, more people are going to Jesus now. Keep in mind now, John had already baptized Jesus. John had already pointed to him and said, look, there, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. John had already done that, and now this is what was supposed to happen. But notice, everyone else around him was saying, oh, poor John. John's not getting as much glory as he used to. John's not getting as much attention as he used to. Poor John. Let's go to John and let's see if we can try to figure out why this is happening, like this is a problem. This is not a problem to John. This is why John came. This is why John was preaching, so that Jesus would increase. Amen. The way to God's glory is for Jesus Christ to increase. If God is going to be glorified, listen to me, Jesus is going to be exalted as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Wouldn't it be a blessing if America could possibly even get close to this ever again? Wouldn't it be a blessing if even the city of Denton could come to a place, even just a few more hearts in this room could come to a place where they put Jesus Christ back where he belongs, King of Kings and Lord of Lords of my personal life. If God be glorified, Jesus Christ is going to have to be exalted to his rightful place. If God be glorified, Jesus is going to be worshipped and adored. worshipped and adored. If God is going to be glorified, Jesus is going to be lifted up and placed in his rightful place. If God's going to be glorified, Jesus is going to be preached unto the Gentiles and believed on in the world. If God's going to be glorified, the gospel of Jesus Christ is going to be preached to every creature and every tongue, tribe, and nation, including Brazil. Amen. This is really the greatest missions verse in the Bible as well. But let's understand something. If God's going to be glorified, Jesus Christ is going to be exalted. Jesus is going to be extolled. Jesus is going to be magnified. And Jesus himself is going to be glorified.
Amen.
That's the way to the glory of God.
Amen.
In short, if God's going to be glorified, Jesus must increase.
Amen.
Boy. John's heart is so, you can just hear it, you can feel it. It just penetrates, it pierces my heart anyway when I hear this verse and I think about this man and his life. Jesus must increase in our hearts. Listen, number one, because Jesus is the only Savior. He's the only Savior. Lost men around the globe are dying and going to a devil's hell at the rate of like every 1.3 seconds. So many people are dying and going to hell with every tick of the clock. And see, it's because that somewhere in their life, understand something, Jesus did not increase. God was not glorified to a point where they had this. I'm not saying that they didn't, but many of them have not heard the gospel message. But quite frankly, many of them have just refused to let Jesus increase. Many of them have just rejected the preaching of the gospel. They've rejected the light, the witness of like John the Baptist and others, and they've rejected and that Jesus did not increase. And listen to me, now their souls are burning in everlasting condemnation and fire in hell. Jesus is the only Savior, dearly beloved. He's the only hope for mankind. Every man, every woman, every boy, every girl is born in sin, is shapen in iniquity, conceived in sin. Every person alive is a descendant of Adam, and all of Adam's race is sinful, helpless, lost, and undone forever and ever, except Jesus Christ has saved their lost souls.
Amen.
Jesus must increase. He's the only Savior for this world. He's the only hope for a lost and dying world. He's the only Savior for a condemned, hell-bound sinner like me.
That's right.
And yet, he's buried underneath everything else. He's buried underneath so many other things in our lives. People that we know, people that we work with every day, people that we live with, family members that we are visit on a regular basis, and we don't increase, we don't lift up Jesus in their eyes.
Yeah.
We don't witness. We don't tell them about Christ. We just leave Jesus buried, like that one talent, just buried in the ground.
Yeah.
Just buried in the ground. I'm just too scared to use it. I'm afraid it might not work. I'm afraid it might not bring forth fruit. I'm just going to bury it. And Jesus is not increasing. You know, I think it's a safe bet to say that's the reason, as I mentioned in Sunday school, listen, our government is in a big mess right now.
Amen.
American government shut down. I don't know what that even means because, listen, I thank God I don't depend on the government, amen, but I understand a lot of people do, but America is they're stalemating over that wall, but it's not about that. It's about they're just trying to get their way, amen. Everybody wants their way instead of letting Jesus increase.
That's right.
Well, verse 36 there in John chapter 3, look what it says. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. John is still speaking here, by the way. And this is his statement. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life. Understand something. That's extreme, but that's what the Bible says. The wrath of God abideth, present tense, on him. That what that means is, listen, without the Son, without believing on the Son, capital S-O-N, Jesus Christ, there is no everlasting life. There's not even life. They can't even see life. Jesus said earlier in this chapter, he said, except a man be born again, he cannot even see the kingdom of God. His eyes will never even lay eyes on the kingdom of God. He'll never even see and understand life eternal, everlasting in heaven. Jesus is the only Savior. The Bible says they shall not see life without him. Oh, they're but listen, they're alive. They're living, but they're not. They don't ever see life. Salvation and life, or no salvation and wrath. That's the only two options. And Jesus is the only Savior. Jesus is the only hope for this lost and dying world. Jesus is the only hope. Listen, in our lives today, we must spend more time increasing Jesus in the eyes of sinners around us. God's not going to be glorified if we don't. Jesus must increase in our hearts because He's the only Savior. And when you look at somebody else, listen to me, the first thing on your mind ought to be, I wonder if they're saved.
Come on, yeah. Preach.
We preach to them. I know they go to church all the time. They told me they were saved. Okay. How do you know they're saved?
Yeah.
I don't know, preacher. It's not up to me to determine that. I know, but why don't you get them to a place where they can tell you their testimony? Open up the Bible and let them see what it really means to be saved.
Yeah.
Because as soon as I open up that book, Brother Worcester, you know what I'm doing?
Mm-hmm.
Jesus is increasing.
That's right.
The living Word of God. That is Jesus. And this, but see, we're not doing that. Americans don't do that anymore. Christians don't do that anymore.
Come on, preach.
But John the Baptist's heart was, he must increase. He must increase. And listen, that ought to be, by the grace of God, that needs to be our heart. Jesus must increase. Listen, your children need it. Your grandchildren need it. Our neighbors, our country, our city, this world needs Jesus to increase. John said this with a hope, with a lot of, he said he must increase. There was a passionate heart in that man. And he said, that's why I'm here. Jesus must increase. He's the only Savior. Listen to me. He's the only source of joy for the believer. For anybody, for that matter. But look in verse 27. He says, John answered and said, a man can receive nothing except to be given him from heaven. Ye yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth, there's joy, greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy, therefore, is fulfilled. What he's saying is, I'm just sent from God. I'm sent from testify of the Lord. And see, when people hear about Jesus, when people get saved and Jesus is increasing in my heart, my mind, there's more joy involved in me. My joy, therefore, is fulfilled. That's what John is saying. We can receive nothing except it come from heaven. Jesus came from heaven, and Jesus came, listen, he wants to save us, and then he wants us to have joy in this life. Believe it or not, Christians, yes, believe it or not, there's joy in Jesus. There's joy in salvation. There's joy in the Bible. There's joy in church. There's rejoicing in everlasting life. Jesus, however, is the only source of real joy, and that's why God's people have so little of it, because he's not increasing. Listen, if Jesus would increase, and we knew why, and we knew that glorified God, and that exalted Jesus Christ, and he was lifted up and men were being drawn to him, he's increasing in their hearts and their minds. Even if they don't get saved, listen to me, his name is still mentioned and they have to hear it, and it gets in their heart and it stirs their heart, and they may not get saved right then and there, amen, but it's going to work and work and work and plow and work in their heart. And one day you may never see him here, but one day you're going to stand in heaven, amen, and you're going to see that person that you witnessed to and you never knew they got saved. And listen, they're going to understand joy comes from Jesus. But the joy that you get from lifting up Jesus Christ, joy that abides, joy that abounds, joy that endures, joy that assures, joy that confirms, joy that fills, joy that flows. Listen to me, John 15, Jesus said, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. 1 John 1:4, John wrote this, not John the Baptist, but the Apostle John, these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. So we've got the spoken word of God, we've got the written word of God, the word of God is the living word of God, Jesus Christ. It's Jesus, he's our source of joy. Understand something, joy doesn't come from a bottle. Joy doesn't come from a drug or pill. Joy doesn't come from sex. Joy doesn't come from sin, y'all. Joy doesn't come from self. It doesn't come from self. It comes from dying to self. Exalting Jesus and following Him. Joy in a marriage doesn't come from the husband stomping all over the wife. Joy in a marriage doesn't come from the wife browbeating and nagging like a little chihuahua. The joy comes from both of them saying, you know what? Jesus is first. Jesus is first in this home, in this marriage, in this family. Joy in a church doesn't come from having a whole lot of people. Joy doesn't come from having a whole lot of money. That would help, Lord. Joy doesn't come from that. Joy comes from Jesus Christ being exalted, Jesus Christ being increased, lifted up in our church, in our hearts. And when we come into this church, in this sanctuary, amen, we're looking for Jesus to be increased.
Amen. That's right.
We're waiting to hear from the Word of God. We're singing songs of praise. Oh, how marvelous, oh, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene. I wonder how He could love me, a sinner, condemned, and unclean. You know what I'm doing? I'm increasing Jesus. I'm exalting Jesus. And you know, if we would get a hold of that, He is the source of our joy. He is the reason we can have true, abiding, abundant joy. I have come, He said, that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. That's the joy of the Lord living in us, thriving, pulsating in our hearts and our minds. Joy. But what happens is Jesus gets buried. He gets buried under everything else in this life.
Come on, preaching.
We come to church and we haven't even really spent one single private minute with Jesus. All week. All week. And we wonder why the preacher gets so excited about that stuff. And why does he get so worked up about all that?
Amen. Come on.
I actually believe He literally lives in my heart.
Yeah.
And I actually thank God that He lives in my heart. I'm actually glad that I'm saved. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
That's right. Free.
I'm not up here because I'm trying to give you a lecture and teach you some type of doctrine. I'm preaching the Lord Jesus Christ because He is everything.
Amen.
Everything.
Amen.
Joy comes through Jesus.
Amen.
And listen, Jesus then gives me salvation. Then He gives me true joy. And listen now, and that joy is my strength.
Yeah, that's right.
That joy is my strength. I'm not going to read it. I mean, turn there for a second time. But Nehemiah says in chapter 8, verse 10, he says, the joy of the Lord is your strength. We have no spiritual strength outside of Jesus.
That's right.
That's why before you got saved, and that's why some of you who maybe aren't saved today, you don't understand joy. You don't understand strength. You are knocked over with every little wind. Your life is destroyed with every little and drama is your king. Drama. And you just have no stability. You're unstable as water. You know what that means? Let me try to explain that to you. Water, you know what water is, right? Okay, when I put heat to water, what happens? It turns to steam. When I chill and cool water enough, it turns to ice. In other words, it's completely controlled, listen, by external circumstances.
That's right.
Completely controlled by external circumstances. And people who tell me they're saved live just like that. Every time something happens, it's upside down, topsy-turvy, completely devastated. I just can't. And it's like, when the heat of the fire is the trial, here comes, you're just steam. I mean, you just evaporate. I don't see you anymore. Where's so-and-so? I don't know. Or when God puts some thing, you don't hear from God for a while, and things kind of cool off, and you're just ice. And you sit there like, oh.
Come on, breathe.
You're unstable as water. Because Jesus is not your source of joy. And therefore you don't have any strength. Because why? Because you don't understand John 3:30. He must increase. He must increase. Listen to me. How's he going to increase in my life, preacher? He's going to increase in your life by you getting around him more often, by you hearing that precious name more often, by you spending more time with him, amen, in this precious book, and on your knees in prayer, and you telling other people about him. There's so much joy that I'm telling you about that you don't understand until you go do it yourself. He's the source of joy, and that joy gives me strength. And listen, that strength helps me keep going, amen. The wind's still blowing my life too. I know times are tough. I know things aren't exactly the way they should be. Our country, our government, our homes, our families, sin, this world, I understand all that. But listen, Jesus has never changed. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever, amen. And I'm thankful he is absolutely true, and he never has changed.
Amen.
Joy is found in Jesus.
Amen.
And the reason you don't have it is because he's not increasing. He's buried.
Amen.
He's buried.
Amen. That's right.
And then because I don't have any joy, I don't have any strength.
Amen.
The Bible says in Proverbs 24:10, listen now. If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small.
Yep.
The problem with believers today is we have little to no joy, therefore we have little to no strength.
Yeah.
And the day of adversity, listen to me, is today.
Yeah.
It's not a one day, 24 hour period, it's a time. It's a time in history. Listen, the day of adversity is now. We are living in the day of adversity.
That's right.
We are living in the time of trouble, the Bible says. Not Jacob's troubles, not the tribulation. We are living in the day of trials and testing. We are living in the day of the spirit of Antichrist. We are living in the day of Laodicean church. We are living in the times of the Gentiles. We are living in the day of the prince of the power of the air.
Yeah.
Amen, cell phones. Amen, tablets. Amen, Wi-Fi. We're living in the day. That day is what we are in. That is today. This is the day of adversity. We're living in the time of darkness and death, the perilous last days. We're living in the times of finding pots and fiery furnaces. We're living in the day of seducing spirits. We're living in the day of the roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. That's adversity, folks. That's a lot of adversity. And we're living right in the middle of it. As God's people. That's apostasy. Too many of God's people are fainting in the day of adversity. Because they don't have any strength. Because their strength is small. John the Baptist came on the scene. John started preaching repentance, salvation, amen, and baptism, if you're serious about it. John the Baptist said, "You generation of vipers." I mean, he was preaching up a storm. He said, "It's not lawful for thee to have her, not lawful for thee to have your brother's wife." I mean, he just railed on sin and fornication and evil. Listen to me. That wasn't easy.
That's right.
He said, "Well, that was a different generation." Yeah. Hey, understand something. He lost his head because of that. It wasn't a different generation. He was hated. He was hated. He came preaching against sin, preaching Jesus Christ is the only way, the Lamb of God, the only Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. The only hope you have, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Boy, and it wasn't easy. It wasn't popular. I mean, this was a day of dead, cold orthodoxy.
Yeah. Right.
Methodist, Presbyterian, Catholics, Nazarenes, Lutherans, most Baptist churches. Dead, cold orthodoxy.
Okay,
you're dismissed. Okay. Dead, cold orthodoxy. And John the Baptist came eating locusts, I don't know why, wild honey, and a leather girdle. I mean, good God, I'm glad I don't have to dress like that. He came out of the wilderness, a blazing flame into Jerusalem, and just preached up a storm, and Jesus, Jesus, Jesus was his only message. Don't tell me it was easy.
No.
Don't tell me he didn't have any adversity.
No.
John the Baptist showed up after being in the wilderness. He showed up preaching. He pointed to Jesus. And listen, if anybody needed strength, it was him.
Amen.
What? Where did he get his strength, preacher? John 3, verse 30.
Yeah, that's
right. What we have today is backwards Baptist. Backwards Baptist. What do you mean, preacher? Here, if I read that verse backwards, here's what I get. I must increase, but he must decrease.
Mm-hmm.
All I got to do is change just a little bit. And everything else goes out the window. Nobody gets saved anymore because I'm increasing and Jesus is buried. I don't have any joy anymore because I'm living for my comforts. I mean, Americans, we are absolutely spoiled.
Yeah.
It's too hot. It's too cold. It's too hot. It's too cold. Oh, it's too hard. It's too soft. The color of this, I mean, we're worried about everything else except Jesus.
Yeah.
Is Jesus increasing my life? My TV is too big. My TV is too small. I don't have the right color. I don't have the right channel. Should I get dish or should I get satellite? Should I get cable? I mean, we are absolutely crazy.
Yeah. Thank you, brother.
Jesus is the one that's supposed to increase.
Amen.
Well, does this close my... Well, I got new... I got to get my hair done. What about Jesus? Where in God's name did we come to this place of dead orthodoxy in our own churches?
Yeah, that's right.
John the Baptist showed up and he started wailing and preaching up a storm, amen. And they looked at him and they said, and they went, who are you?
Amen.
Are you that Christ? Are you that prophet? Are you that Elijah? And he said, no, I'm not. I'm here to preach Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Why? Because he must increase.
Amen.
Folks, listen to me. I know you think this is just me getting excited about something, but This changed the world.
That's right.
Yes, it did.
This changed the world.
That's right.
Jesus showed up, and he didn't just show up unannounced.
Uh-huh.
He had John the Baptist paving the way.
Yeah.
That's still my job today.
Amen.
John can't save anybody. But he preached up a fire. He preached up a storm. He made people stop and think a minute, at least. Yeah. At least they had to face what he said.
Yeah.
I guarantee you they didn't like it. Not all of them. But they at least had to hear it. Because
yeah.
He said Jesus is going to increase. Yeah. If I've got anything to do with it, Jesus is going to increase.
Yeah.
Now here's the thing though. The second half of that verse is the key. I must decrease.
Yeah.
Where did John get his strength? From Jesus, absolutely. His joy, his strength, yes, absolutely. But that's not going to happen until you decrease.
Yeah.
Right.
If I'm going to have any part in bringing glory to God this year, in my life, for the rest of my life, Jesus must increase.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's not going to happen until I decrease.
Amen.
Amen.
That's right.
Until I deny myself. I need to humble myself in prayer. I need to humble myself in meditation and study of this book. I need to humble myself and preach the gospel to every creature. I need to humble myself and faithfully obey what he says. Submit to his will. The Bible says, we read it this morning in James chapter 4. Submit yourselves therefore unto God. Then it says, resist the devil.
Yeah.
And he will flee from you.
Right.
See, what you're trying to do is you're trying to resist the devil and hoping he'll flee from you without submitting to God.
That's right.
There's a reason it says, submit yourselves therefore to God first. In other words, you decrease and God increases.
Amen.
And then I can resist the devil. And then the Bible says, God's promise, he will flee. Because he's going to find somebody else who won't do it. It won't take him long, by the way.
Yeah.
But if he finds you submitting to God, serving the Lord, honoring God, glorifying Jesus, Jesus increasing in your daily life because you're decreasing and humbly obeying him, he's going to look and say, I can't touch them.
Right.
And he's going to go find somebody else.
Yeah.
Sad to say, in America, it won't take him long. But listen to me, that's the key. That's it. That's glorifying God is where I decrease.
Amen.
And let Jesus increase.
Amen.
If I try to increase me, however, my strength, my joy, and sinners, everything else goes to pot.
Yeah.
I'm walking around wondering, how come I'm saved and my life is such a disaster? Well, I'm trying to tell you why.
Come on, preacher, brother.
I'm trying to tell you why.
Yeah.
Because at 6 o'clock tonight, Jesus is going to increase right here.
Amen.
Where are you going to be?
Come on, preacher, good.
Preacher, brother.
You say, well, I don't need to come to every service, preacher. Okay, when you stay home, who increases?
Amen.
You or Jesus?
Yeah.
Amen.
When you know that people are here increasing Jesus, preaching and teaching, singing and praying, Jesus is increasing, you stay home, what are you doing?
Yeah.
You're increasing, you're living for you.
That's right.
And Jesus is down here somewhere.
Amen.
Listen to me, that's our country. That's the average mindset.
Yes, sir.
It doesn't have to be. God forbid it be in our hearts and our minds. We can be just like John the Baptist. He said he must increase, but I must decrease. What? That was one man, y'all. That was one man. And he changed the world.
Yeah, yeah.
So when Jesus changed the world, hey, John was sent before him to open up the way, prepare the way. He was instrumental in changing the entire world. One man who just said, not me, Jesus.
Amen.
Not me,
Amen.
Jesus. Let's bow our heads. Heads are